Welcome to another special episode of the Cross Conference Cast. After opening the rivalry project with three pilots, we spoke to former Broncos goalkeeper Julie Juarez, formerly Julie Ryder. As a starting keeper from 2003 to 2005, Julie faced Portland's offense four times, including a penalty kick shootout her freshman year. Due to injury, Julie was on the bench in 2006, her senior season. Julie has since returned to Santa Clara as a sports information director for men's water polo and women's soccer. Julie had a lot to share about the Santa Clara-Portland rivalry, the future of women's soccer in the United States, and what it's like to be a sports information director. She has a unique perspective and was generous with her insights. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Julie Juarez as much as we did.
Hi, Julie.
Hey.
This is Ruth with Cross Conference. We're calling about the interview about the Santa Clara-Portland rivalry.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm ready for that.
Okay. And my co-host is also on the call with us, Joan. She's a Portland fan.
Okay.
Say hi, Joan.
Hi. Hi. I'm sorry.
Hi.
Wait, no, I'm not sorry.
So how do you feel about the season so far?
You know, it's our team's pretty good. Obviously, I've been to every home game. We've been great defensively. We're having some trouble scoring some goals, and that's the one thing I'd really like to see them do a little bit more, is score some more goals.
So you don't travel with them?
I guess they're
traveling right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, they play at 3 o'clock today in St. Mary's, and it's a whole, like, HR thing that I'm not allowed to go to away games and be in a working capacity. So it kind of sucks, but I got to deal with what I got. But we are going, me and my mom's here this weekend. We're going to the USF game on Sunday just to watch.
Cool. We'll get into the rivalry questions, and then we might have some bonus questions, I guess, because you're in a really unique position so far as anyone that we're talking to goes. Actually, you're the first Bronco that we're interviewing for the podcast. We've had a couple of emails with, we heard from Megan McRae this morning and Leslie Osborne and Brittany Klein before.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to, you know, like, break the ice for the podcast as far as the Santa Clara side of things.
Okay.
All right. So what do you think makes the Portland-Santa Clara rivalry special?
You know, I grew up in Illinois, so I didn't really know a whole lot about, you know, the rivalry between Portland and Santa Clara. I just, you know, when I first got here as a freshman, that's when I first experienced it. And just the WCC in general, it's just anytime you play any WCC opponent, it's, you know, it's going to be a brutal fight. But Portland, especially because Santa Clara and Portland are both, you know, we're kind of the top dogs of the conference for most, you know, the past decade or so. That game, you know, usually when we play, it's late in the season, and that's usually whoever wins that game wins the WCC. So that's what really makes it special. And it's just every time we played them, you know, I think we played them 5 times when I was in school here, and it was just a dogfight.
Yeah, well, and you played them twice your freshman year.
Yes, I did. I remember that. That is, you know, and I go down and I remember my career when I was here. That's easily, you know, that freshman year is in my top, those two games are in my top two or top three when I played here. And I got to give some credit to my sophomore year. We went to North Carolina. We beat North Carolina for the first time, like, you know, at North Carolina, at Chapel Hill. It was the first time they had never gone to a Final Four. And that's got to be my top game. But that freshman year, you know, I came in and that NCAA game, and it's just, you know, 0-0. They had some great chances. I think they hit the post once. They were just, you know, it was a 0-0 game, and we go into the PKs, and I, you know, there was never a doubt in my mind in the PKs. I was just like, I'm going to save some of these, and I think I saved 2, I think, maybe got a
hand
on the
first 2.
One. Yeah. And, but this is the thing, and, you know, they have 3,000 fans there. It's packed. Their student section's crazy. And I remember when Tina scored that goal at the end, just took off, and I think I even celebrated in front of their student section. But, I mean, that's But that's what kind of, like, I loved about soccer was the competition. And, like, anytime you get a big moment like that, you just kind of have to relish in it.
Yeah. You actually, I was looking at your stats earlier, and you personally have a winning record against Portland.
I do. Well, I haven't really gone through, but now that you mention it. You know, I didn't play my senior year. I had a pretty bad knee injury. I tore my patellar tendon. Actually, I tore it in preseason of my junior year and played my entire junior year with it. But the reason I played with it is because it got misdiagnosed for 8 months. I didn't know that it was torn. I thought it was just tendonitis. And so I played with it, and my senior year, May rolled around, and I saw a new doctor and got a new MRI, and basically they told me I'd have surgery. So it's supposed to be a six-month recovery, and I tried to come back in 3.5 months, so I didn't play a whole lot my senior year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're from Illinois. Were you aware of the Portland-Santa Clara rivalry before you picked the school?
Not really. Santa Clara, like, when it came down to the schools I was looking at, I kind of like to think of myself as a person who was born in the wrong state. I like to surf, I like to snowboard, and you can't do either one of those in Illinois. So when I came to Santa Clara, it kind of had, you know, the mix of everything I wanted. It had the West Coast atmosphere, it had the weather, it had the great soccer. So, no, I didn't really know a whole lot about the WCC rivals until I got here and actually experienced it. And actually with Santa Clara, like, when people ask me, like, what's your biggest rival, I can't really pick one because I came in right after we won the national championship, and when that happens, you pretty much have a target on your back for everybody. You know, rivals for us are North Carolina, Notre Dame, Portland, St. Mary's. There's all different reasons for why we have rivalries with those teams, but that's just how it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and like you said before, with North Carolina, like, anytime you beat North Carolina, it's great.
Oh, yeah. Especially, you know, and it's funny, like, you know, my whole life growing up, it was, you know, everything was about North Carolina, and I think I even had a North Carolina t-shirt. We went there for a club tournament one time, and I came home with one of them.
Boo.
I think that maybe it's a sign, because I had a Notre Dame sweatshirt at one point, too. I had a house fire my junior year of high school, and I, you know, I lost all my clothes and all that. So it was kind of like, maybe it was a sign. But, yeah, I ended up with Santa Clara, too, and it also had a lot to do. I have family that live out here as well, so. But, no, Santa Clara just, it had a mix of everything that I wanted from school, and that's why I ended up going there.
So everyone talks to us about how, you know, like, the season is broken down into phases as to what you guys concentrate on. Do you think that the Portland Santa Clara matchup was ever a factor in pre-conference play for you?
You know, it's kind of hard. Like, I guess from my own personal experience since I've been here, I know that we do, for the seniors, we try to do a hometown trip. I know that Jerry tries to play as many top 10, top 5 opponents as he can. But yeah, once conference starts, and I don't really think, you know, Portland's always in the back of your mind, but it's always a week to week, like, you know, you got to pay attention to the game at hand, because if you don't, then if you lose those games, then the game against Portland may or may not even matter once it comes down to you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So I don't really, I mean, there are phases of our season. You know, we always play every year against Stanford. We always, for the last couple of years, we've played Notre Dame every year. We rotate going there and here. I think Jerry just tries to prepare us the best that he can for our WCC season, and he does that by trying to schedule one of the hardest schedules in the country.
Yeah, well, and it looks like he really manages to do that even when the team is injury-plagued.
Oh, yeah. Well, the injury bug has not been good to us the last couple of years, that's for sure. I think in my class of 7, only one of us did not have a major surgery on something.
Wow. Who was that?
Casey Place was the only one that did not have surgery. I know Tina tore her knee. Tiff had a knee injury and a shoulder injury. I had a knee injury and a back injury. Lauren Zeeler, I think, may or may not. I know she's had knee problems in the past. I don't know if it was during college. Marion hurt her knee. We all had surgery.
Wow.
Yeah, the bug bit us a little bad the last couple of years, but, you know, thankfully, for the most part, we've had the depth to be able to have somebody step in and fill that spot when somebody does go down.
Yeah, especially the past couple of years, it mm-hmm. from a fan standpoint, it seems to be getting better.
Yeah, and also, too, you know, they've got a new strength guy that I never worked with when I was in school, but from what I've heard, he's gotten rave reviews, and as we all know, you know, strength programs, when it's a really good program, definitely helps with preventing those injuries.
Yeah, yeah. So you've already, we've already talked a bit about your freshman year, which I had wanted us to hit on, but aside from what we've talked about already, do any other moments from your career stand out from that rivalry in particular?
Well, actually, I forgot to mention this, but my freshman year, so before the NCAA tournament, we flew up there, and we went to dinner the night before the game at Old Spaghetti Factory, and I just remember we're there, and some random guy just approached us while we were all outside in the parking lot waiting to go. And he goes, "Which one of you is the goalkeeper?" And I, you know, timid little freshman, I kind of raised my hand like me. And he's like, "You better get used to bending over and picking balls out of the back of your net." And I'm sitting there going, "What? Like, who is this guy? I'm trying to eat. You know, we just got done eating dinner." And then after we beat him, I remember being in the airport on the way back, and some guy, you know, we all wear our warm-ups in the airport, and some guy stopped us in the airport, and he goes, "Who won? Who won? Who won?" And we're like, "We did." And he just kind of like threw a mini hissy fit in the airport. And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, these fans are crazy."
But wow. Issues that we work
through. The Portland fan, like, it's amazing. And, you know, like, we go, every time we went up there, there's 3,000 people there. The field is immaculate. It's just a great atmosphere to play in. But in going on in terms of Portland games, I remember, I think, you know, now I'm sitting here looking at the media guide in front of me, and I'm going, you know what? In the 4 years I was here, we only lost to them 1 year, and that was my junior year when they won the national championship, and they were just ridiculous. And I remember playing in that game. Christine Sinclair scored 2 goals. I think one of them deflected off my defender, and I can't remember totally, but I just remember it was just like an onslaught, and that they were awesome that year.
Yes, they were.
And as much as it kills me to say that, they were awesome that year.
No, Santa Clara gave them both teams that year. You guys are great. Like, not many teams could put up a fight against that team that year. So, and Santa Clara always brings it. It's was a fun game to see.
The ending game we played against them was fun, and the emotions were high. And I know I touched on it a little bit earlier, but that's kind of what makes me tick, is that high level emotion, high level of stress. Like, I love, you know, the reason I play goalkeeper is, like, there's no gray area. You either save the ball or you don't. And I love that whole pressure on me. Like, that's kind of what makes me tick a little bit. And I can just remember moments from that game. You know, I started playing with Santa Clara 7 years ago, and I can still remember, like, you know, the very first time we played them freshman year, it was a home game for us. It was for, you know, decided WCC championship, and the goal we scored, it was like the craziest goal, because Christy Kanda, who I'm actually really, really good friends with, she had a rocket, and she just unleashed it, and it hit Veronica in the head, and it went. We're just, you know, after the game, we're all like, "It went off your dome," and went in. Like, we couldn't believe it. It was just the craziest goal. I think sophomore year, Tiff scored the goal from like 30 yards out, I want to say, and just, that was a national TV game, and that was also another thing, is whenever we played Portland, most of the time it was a national TV game, and that just adds to the, you know, the fandom and the craziness. And, unfortunately, my senior year I didn't get to play. Megan was playing really, really great, and I was still coming back from an injury, and we beat them 3-2, and that was a really exciting game, too. And I just remember being on the bench with everybody, and, you know, I didn't spend a whole lot of my career on the bench, so it was just a new experience for me to just see, like, you know, how much support and how much the team on the bench really does help you win games.
So do you think that your feelings about the rivalry have changed you've been in a lot of different roles with the team as a starter and then on the bench, like you said, and now you're back. You were at Stanford for a while, right?
Yeah, I worked with Stanford in the 2008 season. That was the year they first went to the College Cup. Well, they went early in the 90s, but that was, you know, in the new kind of era, that was the first time they had went. And, you know, working at Stanford, too, who's another huge rival of us, like, kind of had to swallow my pride a little bit there when I was working there. But, you know, they were a fun team to watch. Now that I'm back at Santa Clara, and, you know, I love Santa Clara. It's my alma mater. Like, I love this team. I love these girls. And the Portland rivalry is still, it's still strong. It's still there. And I want, you know, and I work for the university, but I definitely want our girls to pick up a W in that game.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah. for personal and work reasons as well. But, no, it's, the rivalry is just as strong. I mean, Portland, we still, you know, it's still, we're still the cream of the crop of the WCC. It's still the same, you know, I shouldn't say bad blood because it's not really bad blood, but it's still the same hotly contested game, and neither team likes to lose to one another.
Do you still talk about the rivalry with your former teammates or with the current players since you do work with them now?
Well, you know, with the current players, this is the first year I've kind of been cycled out with Amanda Poach is still on the team, but she's a sixth year. I've been kind of cycled out. I don't know the girls as well as the first year that I worked. I wouldn't say that we really talk about it until it's kind of upon us. We actually had last weekend we had our 30-year anniversary, and a lot of the ex-players came. And, you know, we had dinners and celebrations and things like that. And the Portland game is definitely one, like, if people are going to come back to watch a game, that's one of the ones they try to come back for, is the Portland game.
Yeah, we've been hearing that in the emails. Do you have any questions, Joan?
No, I guess, well, we talked to Corey Alexander, and she had quite a few friends playing on Santa Clara while she was at Portland. But you're from Illinois, so did you ever have any friends playing for Portland, like, in the past, or do you know any in the future?
Well, I was actually pretty good friends with Angela Wozniak, just because we played on the U16 national team together. But other than that, I didn't really know a whole lot of the girls. I knew the Rapino sisters, and actually that fueled a little fire to us because we lost them as recruits, and we definitely wanted them to come play here. And they went to Portland, and that just kind of, we were like, oh, no, you go to, it's like, you know, you don't want to have somebody that's your big recruit go to your rival like that. You know, you just don't want that. So that added a little fuel to the fire when we would play Portland. Kind of lost my train of thought real quick.
It's okay.
But I think, is your Portland goalkeeper this year, she's from Illinois, right?
One of them's from Utah, and okay. I think the other one's from Illinois. Yeah.
I think the one from Illinois might have played for the same club that I played for.
It's Erin D. She is from Downers Grove, Illinois, and played for Eclipse Select.
Yep, that's who I played for. So I'd be interested to see how she is. I know that they've had a few different goalkeeper trainers with Eclipse since I left, but I'd be really curious to watch her play. And, you know, it's always good when I see, that's the thing, it's always good when I see people from clubs that I played for. I like watching them play. I like, you know, I like to see them do well, but in this instance with it being Santa Clara, hoping we get a couple past whoever may be in goal.
Yeah, they'll do well, but we've got Bianca, so I'm not worried.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. I mean, I see a lot of the same things in both of us, and especially last year, you know, she saved two PKs against Oklahoma State, and I've been nothing but impressed with her. I think she's just a phenomenal goalkeeper.
Oh, yeah. I watched that game, too, and she converted her PK.
She scored. And actually, the funny story is, in the Portland game my freshman year, that I volunteered to shoot, and I can't remember now if Jerry for sure told me I was going to be the fifth shooter or something like that, or I would have shot at some point. No, I think Tina was the fifth shooter, but at some point I was definitely in a lineup to shoot, but we didn't get to that point.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. But that's another thing. Like, you know, people talk about nerves, and Bianca has, like, nerves of steel. You know, nothing can faze her by any means.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we watched her this summer with the under-20 team, and it was a painful team to watch, but mm-hmm. she made it worth it.
Yeah. She got the Golden Glove, and I think that's the first time, like, the goalkeeper who hasn't won gotten a Golden Glove or something like that crazy. But, you know, growing up in the national teams, you know, the system, I played all the way up till I got invited to 121's camp, but by then my back and my knee were so screwed up that well, there were a lot of things that happened with the national team. Part of it was that I elected not to go to the U19 World Cup as a sophomore because I thought that was going to be our best chance to win an NCAA title, and I was the second string goalkeeper on the team, so I didn't want to miss my college season. So I elected to stay there, and then I got hurt, and so that was just kind of the end of the national team for me. But, you know, growing up, we never lost. Like, we did not lose a tournament. And, like, the first time we didn't, you know, we didn't advance or didn't lose, like, we were just kind of like, oh, my gosh, what? You know, like, what's going on? We're not winning?
Yeah.
So, but I think that's a credit to the other countries. They're finally starting to put some effort into it, some money into it, and they're catching up real quick.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about the qualifiers coming up, especially.
Well, even when I was with the 16, 17, you know, in that kind of tweener age group, Germany came in and, you know, mopped the floor with us in two games when we were in Florida, and I was just like, oh my God, these girls are so good. You know, we got some work to do, but I think we're in a good spot. I know I'm kind of going totally off subject and rambling about this, but I really think that we're in a good spot with our national team right now, with the kids we're, you know, bringing in. The league is only going to help that. So I'm looking forward to when we next have our, you know, Olympics, World Cup, all that.
Have you been following the league? I don't mind if we go off topic.
Not as much as I would like to, just because it's, like, crazy busy with, you know, work and stuff. And part of it, too, is that, you know, I didn't get a chance to play in the league, and for, you know, however many years growing up, that's all I wanted to do. I actually tried out with the Gold Pride the very first year and didn't make it, and my body is just, I mean, I'm retired, basically. My body can't handle it anymore.
You're retired, so you play hockey.
Yeah, well, actually, the funny part about that is it's a lot easier. All the leagues I play in are non-checking, so it's actually a lot easier on my knee. There's no pounding, there's no, you know, that kind of stuff. And I play soccer in an occasional Sunday league, but that's the occasional Sunday league one game, you know what I mean? Like, it's not 6 days a week, it's not the kind of stress that I'd be putting on my body had I played professional soccer. So, on an emotional standpoint, it's a little hard for me to follow the league just because I'm a little sad that I never got that chance to do that. But at the same time, it's really good to see people that I played with, and, you know, it's amazing. All the people, you know, in the league that I look at, and I'm like, I played with you, and I want these girls to do well, and I'm really happy that they're getting a chance to kind of live out their dreams, and it's, but yeah, it still goes down to, it's kind of a random thing, like rivalries, like, you know, Philadelphia, I've got some kids that I was total rivals with on that team, and I was kind of glad that FC Gold Pride won that game. So, yeah, no, I mean, I would like to follow the league a little bit better than I do right now, I would say.
That's good, yeah. I'm an FC Gold Pride fan, but I live near Philly, mm-hmm. So, like, that's my hometown team. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I was disappointed that they didn't hold on to Catherine Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
And just really happy that the Bay won it then.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do follow a lot of the Facebook and Twitter feeds of these teams, and I have to single out Chicago for the marketing job they're doing, too.
Yes.
Chicago does a phenomenal job with their marketing, and they're just fan interaction and all that, and I definitely think the more that we can get on that bandwagon with the WPS, you know, this is the thing, the United States is a very saturated very saturated entertainment market. You know, you can go NBA, NHL, NFL, women's soccer. And so the league, it caters to kind of some niche fans, but you've got to figure out how to pull in those casual fans and get them hooked. And I think that the Red Stars are doing a great job with that, with just, you know, their social marketing is great. I guess I'm kind of rambling. I'm sorry, but
no, that's fine because I'm a Chicago fan. So it's like, mm-hmm. this is good. I can forgive your winning record against Portland if you just talk about Chicago a lot.
Mm-hmm. we're both also really keen on just watching the social media trends and the media trends in women's soccer. So so that's another reason that it's great to be talking to you, because like
one of the things that this, you know, in contrast to what WSA did is that, you know, they figured out, like, hey, our fans, our base of our fans are playing when we were playing our games, and so the WPS has done a good job of not having their games conflicting with their fan base's games.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, I put myself in, you know, I was 13 years old when Brandy scored that goal, the PK, and it was, like, pandemonium. It was crazy. Like, we all had our faces painted. We're in, you know, in my friend's house in Naperville, Illinois, and we have our faces painted watching this game. Somehow I think we need to re-energize the kids a little bit to get to that point, you know, where it's just all-consuming, like, diehard, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we need another big World Cup moment or some sort of breakthrough moment to get everybody back on, you know what I mean?
You gonna re-energize them?
Yeah, well, that's a big task, and sometimes, you know, but it's just amazing to me. It's like, you know, we got 90,000 people at that game in the 99 World Cup, and I think everybody's just searching for that elusive answer of how can we get that sort of interest again.
Do you have any thoughts about possibly who could make that happen? Like, because those 99, like that 99 World Cup team had a lot of, you know, obviously they had Mia Hamm, Brandi Chastain, a lot of great personalities. Do you see anything like that coming up in the future?
I think there's the potential for it. I think like somebody like Amy Rodriguez has the potential to do that sort of thing. You know, it's hard for me to kind of figure out, like, you know, why was that 99 team so great? Why would they have so many great people with great personalities? And I think it's because those women that were on that team, you know, they knew they were up against, you know, like when the national team first started, like there weren't many fans for it. There wasn't, you know, and I think all of them got on board to kind of, you know, get to that point, like, hey, we need, you know, they worked hard at getting those fans. And I think a little bit with the newer generation, it's kind of like, why, instead of we need to get these fans to come here, I think some of it's like, why aren't they, you know, like, because it got established and now it's kind of hit a lull. And I think, you know, with this is why I bring up the social media is great, because it's involving people. It's, you know, reaching people, and it's kind of a marketing term, but like, they're, when they follow you, they're opting in to see what you're up to. I'm not making any sense. I'm sorry.
No, you're totally making sense. Great. Like, because this is sort of how I felt about some of the newer players. Like, as like a little bit more attention comes to women's soccer, as these younger players, they get sort of popular. They see themselves mm-hmm. in a magazine, or they hear about themselves on the internet a lot. And like, it seems like they're quick to believe that they're already great, and so why aren't you already paying attention to me? But not in a like a necessarily super egotistical way, but sort of a, like, they don't understand how those players before them had to work for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's just because it's been established that they're just like, oh, you know, we need to go out and work as hard as those girls did to get the fans that they got. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're on the right page with that. It's definitely need to go make those TV appearances, those media appearances. Do, and I'm not saying that they don't do that stuff. They do. But for some reason, it's not resonating the same way.
Yeah, it's like, you even now when you go to games, you still have, like, the little kids are cheering for Mia. And they probably, you know, they might not have even been born until after she retired.
I had my first moment like that. For the last two summers, I've been coaching at the Santa Clara soccer camps, and I did a couple Stanford camps as well. You know, I was talking to some of the kids, and I'm like, what year were you born? They're like, 2000, 2001. I'm like, you weren't even born when that whole Brandy goal happened. But yet still, that those are the famous names, the Mias, the Brandys, you know, the Brianna Scurries. Like, it's still there, and it's, you know, it's good that we're educating the younger kids about what happened in the past, but we got to get them excited about the new generation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
That's just something I think we get a little pigeonholed in women's soccer. You know, when you're brought up as a national team player, you go through training and, you know, you say, you're always quick to, you know, somebody compliments you, you say thank you, you know. But, you know, the whole end result is you want to talk about your team. And you want to be gracious and you want to be, you know, that all that sort of thing. But I think sometimes you need to get a personality like, you know, Hope Solo or even Natasha Kai. You need a personality that's just different. with our team, especially if you look at Natalie Spilger, like, she's been doing some great off the field things that just have nothing to do with soccer, but she's using it as a platform to get that off the ground. You know what I mean? Like, there needs to be more of that, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you definitely recognize, like, I mean, I think a lot about voice, like, because with our podcast, we have a certain voice. It's very, I mean, not to pat ourselves on the back, but we're very different from everybody else. But it's like, with a Natalie Spilger, like, you so know Natalie Spilger's voice, you know? It's like, you know that, you know, like, on Twitter, a blog post, or whatever she's doing, you're like, yeah, that's Natalie Spilger. And it would be nice to see that from other players as well.
Or from other teams. Like, everyone that I'm thinking of right now that's got a voice other than Hope Solo is, you know, they're with Chicago. Or, like, and Chicago recently got Karina LeBlanc. So that's that's another one taken away from, you know, taken away from Philadelphia with that social media presence.
Yeah, and even, you know, like, but I still think there's some players who can step up with that. I'm not going to name names. I know that these are people that I personally know, and I'm like, you've got things that people want to hear, and you need to get that out there. You know what I mean? Kind of deal?
Yeah, definitely.
If I were a fan, or, you know, if I'm, a soccer player, a youth girl soccer player, if I'm a mom, if I'm, you know, if I'm just a general fan of the league, I want to hear what you have to say. And so I think people just need to be more active about doing that kind of thing. They want to see... Because, I mean, let's be honest, the basis of the league is a lot of, you know, young female soccer players are fans, and a lot of them look up to these girls, and it's just, you know, like, if I'm that age again, I'm like, I want to know everything you're doing, and it might be kind of stalkerish, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, when you're a fan of somebody, you want to know what they're doing, and I think that needs to just be a little bit more like, you know, they want to see what you do off the field, what I mean?
Like FC Gold Pride, Kelly O'Hara and Allie Riley did
that was
great, because we weren't getting a whole lot from FC Gold Pride last year.
The kids, I worked with both those kids at Stanford, and they're great personalities. They're great kids. They're funny kids. They're interesting kids. And it's funny, you know, Kelly O'Hara, I almost think of her sometimes as a little bit of a goalkeeper. Just, you know, like, you got that little quirk about you. Like, you know, most goalkeepers have it. Not to say that other players don't, but she was always kind of to the beat of her own drum kind of deal.
I think in 2008 and in 2006 with the under-20 teams, they were using her, and Casey Nogueira, I think, as reserve goalkeepers. You know, like, if they couldn't sub someone else in.
That's,
I don't know the technical term for it.
Yeah, where you, like, if somebody goes down, you use all three of your subs. And
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That actually happened one time, didn't it, with the national team? They had to stick somebody in there?
I feel like
that happened one time. They had to put Hope Solo at forward or something. Barnhart.
Barnhart was forward. She came in for Angela Hughleys, who injured herself in 2004, I think, at the Victory Tour of 2004. I think Angela Hughleys hurt her knee, and then Nicole Barnhart came in, and I actually didn't see that game. I don't think it was televised, but I remember that. That was pretty amusing.
Okay. Wow. Out of all the things, like, sometimes you have to do it, though, you know? You never know. And it was funny. I actually listened to Corey's whole thing because, you know, Corey and I were in direct competition with one another, the same age and all that. And some of the, I got a little fired up on some of the things she
said. So is there anything you'd like to say to her?
I don't have any, you know, nothing but well wishes, and I hope she finds her way back into the league, and, you know, I enjoyed playing against her, and it was fun, and that's what it's about at the college level. Was it fun? Was it worth your time? Did you have a blast? You know, and I can say, you know, about my college career, I had a blast. I have no regrets. Like, it was fun, and I hope that, you know, that's kind of the reason that I'm doing what I'm doing now with the team is, you know, I loved being a part of this team, and it was fun, and I want to see those girls have, you know, you kind of have a sense of ownership about now. You're like, I want it to be as fun for you as it was for me.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, just for the record, the games that you and Corey both played together, you had really similar stats, 4 goals against, and you had 12 saves and she had 16 saves.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know. Like, you guys were really the first two keepers that I started paying attention to at the college level. Mm-hmm. And so it sort of makes the whole rivalry thing sweeter for me to have been able to sort of watch, in a way, you guys match up. It's been really great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those games, like I said, those games were some of the funnest games I ever played in. Just, you know, I can't really put it into words, just like how much fun those games are when there's just everything at stake and it's, you just want nothing. Like, you kind of have to have that nasty little, I want to beat you. Like, there's a question, I'm a big NHL fan, there's a question the scouts ask kids, it's like, do you love to win or do you hate to lose? And I hated to lose. Hated it. And it didn't matter who we were playing, but especially hated to lose to Portland.
Well, you didn't do it too much in your career, so...
Yeah, thankfully. Yeah. It was just that one year. And unfortunately, that's the last time I played them. But, you know, with two teams of that caliber, that quality, you're not going to win every single game.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes this rivalry so interesting. And I think it, like, in my opinion, it's really the only rivalry in women's soccer, and maybe, like, one of the best in U.S. domestic soccer, because, you know, they play each other all the time. Mm-hmm. And every year it's very competitive. You don't know for sure who's going to win, like, because either team could definitely win. Where it's like, you know, you have a great school like North Carolina, but they don't have any real rivals, and nothing they do is interesting. Yeah. So
obviously you guys are not going to include that statement.
No, we might.
We definitely are. No, we're very unabashed. Well, I mean, it's like, I just kind of have a general apathy. Ruth really doesn't like them, but
yeah. Well, I mean, you're preaching to the choir over here. Right?
Yeah. It's like, I'm a Santa Clara fan.
Yeah. Well, North Carolina plays a style and, you know, they're successful at what they do. But then you get Portland and Santa Clara who play similar styles, you know. It's fun to watch two teams play similar styles as to opposing teams where, you know, you see, so even going back to the Stanford-Portland quarterfinal, I think it was a year or two ago, like, that was a great game to watch because Stanford's the same type of team as we, you know, like, obviously Stanford this year is got some great, you know, for the last couple of years they've had great personnel and they've just been, you know, I think that they should have two national championships under their belt right now, but they don't, and somebody found a way to beat them.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, I've watched Stanford for the last 3 years play. I saw him again this year, and they're, you know, Paul Reckless is doing an excellent, excellent job over there. And I, you know, when I worked there, and, you know, I've known Paul for a while, and, you know, I have nothing but respect for those guys as much as, you know, and we're on the field with them, like, or, you know, I'm working at Santa Clara now, so I can go back to my rivalry. Like, you know, I love Stanford, and I love the experience I had there, and I had a great, great time working there and great time watching them. But now that I'm back at my alma mater, I can take sides in the rivalry once again.
Yeah, definitely. I'm curious now, since you work with the media and you're at Santa Clara, how are you personally prepping for that game this year?
For the Portland game?
Yeah, like what does that entail for you?
Oh, for me, well, it tells me getting there much, much earlier than I normally do for regular games. But so we've got national TV with that game. So our facilities people have actually been taking care of a lot of the ESPN detail, you know, the on-the-field cameras, the, you know, all that operational stuff. They've been taking care of that. I've actually been corresponding back and forth with Anne-Marie, who's going to be calling the game on TV. I sent her a big old packet of stuff yesterday. But we didn't do, because of the NCAA legislation with the media guides, we did not do printed media guides this year. We're trying to do virtual media guides. They've taken a little bit longer than we'd have liked. So they're not online yet. But that's because, you know, this is a new thing for a lot of schools. We don't know, like, how long these are going to take.
Yeah.
So hopefully in the next couple of weeks. But what a lot of people don't understand is that SIDs at schools such as mine, like, we're controlling the live stats. We're troubleshooting the live stats. We're troubleshooting the webcam if something goes wrong with that. We're coding the game. We're writing the game story. Like, you know, games are very stressful. And, you know, I think I made a mistake on, there's been a couple stats mistakes this year. There was one where Oregon scored an own goal, but from where we were in the press box, it looked like Kelly Jenks changed the direction of the ball. And it wasn't until like a week and a half later somebody said, hey, she didn't touch the ball. And I'm like, well, it's already, you know, like the stats are already done. Like it's in the books. That's how it is. But especially from where I'm sitting, it's hard to tell sometimes who, you know, it's hard to see the numbers. And in my case on Sunday against San Diego, Olivia Clay got the assist. And so I didn't know it was Olivia. I thought it was Sarah Jackson, but they're both blonde. And from that distance, like, I couldn't tell which one was one. And she never turned her back to us. And because it was, you know, it was a shot and a save and a shot and a goal. Like soccer, when you're coding stats, there's times where nothing is happening, but when something does happen, it's kind of hectic. It's kind of crazy. So I was trying to code all these shots, and my husband actually was doing the PA that game. I was like, hey, who took the initial shot? And he goes, number seven. And so I found out like a day later it wasn't number seven, it was Olivia. And I'm sitting there going, oh, great. Now I got but it's, you know, hopefully, well, actually the Portland game is nice because I'm not going to be doing stats for it. I'm hiring somebody to do it for me so I can cater to the ESPN people, whatever they need, you know, giving them stats, giving them whatever information they
pronunciation.
Need. Pronunciations. And Anne-Marie's been picking my brain because I played for the team. Like, she wanted to know about formation. She wanted a video to watch the team so she could tell the formation. I'm like, well, I played for us. I can tell you exactly what we're doing because we haven't really changed it in a long time. Like, we'll play three midfielders. And, you know, there's been times this year where I think we've been going to, like, two forwards and dropping one back as kind of like a attacking midfielder. But for the most part, it, you know, Jerry, he's, for women's soccer, like, he's a pioneer for women's soccer coaching. And he's very successful, obviously, his numbers, you know, say that. And but just, like, you know, when it's a personnel thing. Like, when I played, we had the personnel to get those things done, to do what we wanted to do. We had Brittany Klein in the midfield. Occasionally we would, you know, like Christine Sinclair, sometimes we would man mark her. And it wasn't the whole game, but, you know, there were certain assignments. But for the most part, our formation doesn't really change unless something's really not going right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this looming thing. Like, I've got a national TV game. Like, you don't want to screw up on national TV. You got to get all these things to the right people. And it's just, and it's a big game. Like, at the same time, like, I want to watch it as a fan, but I can't. I gotta do my job. But, you know, when I was thinking about what I wanted to do, I grew up in sports. My dad's an athletic director. My brothers, they're both community athletic directors. I've grown up, and I wanted to work in sports. And I loved writing, loved PR, did tech PR for 6 months, didn't really like it, and decided, you know, like, how can I stay involved in college athletics and do what I still want to do for work? And so that's how I ended up doing what I'm doing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Women's soccer, I make, you know, and this is the other thing, like, I played women's soccer. I don't want anything but the best for these kids, so I go out of my way to do what I can do within, obviously within my HR requirements, to get these kids the attention I feel they deserve.
This has been great. And yeah, I don't know, Joan, how you're going to edit it.
We'll make it work. It'll be the longest one for sure. Cause you've given us so much. Thank you so much, Julie.
You're welcome. Anytime, guys, anytime you want to call and chat, whatever, I'm game for it.
Yeah. Good luck this weekend to the Broncos. Thank you for all your work for the Broncos. I mean, I'm from a Pilot fan, but, you seem really enthusiastic about women's soccer, and, it's really great to see.
Oh, thank you so much. And I look forward to speaking to you guys soon again.
So, Ruth, you are a big Julie Ryder Juarez fan. How did you feel about talking to her?
I mean, obviously I was incredibly nervous leading up to it. But once we started talking to her, she was just like Corey, just like had so much to say and was so willing to say it. It was a great conversation. Just like got right into it, and you know, she had listened to Corey's podcast, and she brought that in too. Like, that was great. It was yeah. Really great talking to her. I had a lot of fun.
Definitely. And you can see that she's like, not only does she play women's soccer, but it's like, or she played women's soccer, but she's a fan too. And that really makes a difference. Like, she's very, like, very interested in it. and she's obviously doing, she has a lot of interesting thoughts about women's soccer, and as well as how social media is playing into it. And it was a real treat to talk to her. So hopefully we get to do it again. And I'm excited to talk to more Broncos.
Yeah, how was that for you? Finally talking to a Bronco.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, I knew it would be great. I knew they, like, I totally respect Santa Clara. And I think they're, yeah, I think they're terrific. It's just great to really get the players talking, you know, like about what they personally think and they and their own experiences. For more information on this rivalry project, please visit crossconference.com.